this evening for our study, we'd like to talk about the subject I've written up here on the board. We're going to talk about the idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness is something which is imperative as far as the Lord's will is concerned, and we need to understand something about it. I find some very strange ideas out in the brotherhood about forgiveness, and I'm not going to talk about the negative side of this. Instead, I'd like to talk about those instructions that the Lord gives us when it comes to the responsibility of forgiving others. Now, the type of forgiveness I'm going to be talking about is where somebody has offended or hurt you in some way, done you some wrong or some evil on a personal basis. I'm not talking about those who would violate scriptural things or those who are immoral. Those things have to be dealt with in a different way. I'm not talking about a one-on-one type of relationship. You and everybody else out in the world, those that you contact on a daily basis, those who might do you wrong, what is your responsibility toward forgiving them? And you know, I think it's critical that we understand God's word on this subject. In fact, I know it's critical, and I'll point it out to you just in a few minutes. But I can tell you right up front, before we get into this in any greater detail, that our happiness now in this life depends upon us forgiving. Our happiness in the hereafter depends upon us and our forgiving in this day and time while we're here upon this old earth. Here we have an example in our text where Jesus Christ is hanging upon the cross. And if you'll reflect back just for a minute or two and think about the crucifixion, Jesus has no reason to forgive these people whatsoever if he thinks about it from a human standpoint. Here the Lord is hanging on a cross. Man has no use for him here upon the earth. He's suspended between heaven and earth like he's not good enough for either one. And the common man, and I want to remind you, some of these common men are the same ones that enjoyed the benefit of the loaves and fishes. These are the same ones that have had healing in themselves or in their family because of Jesus. These are the same ones who've heard the Lord promise them that they could have eternal life one of these days. And now they come by and they wag their heads at the Lord. They mock and make fun of him. And you know, Jesus knew he could call for 12 legions of angels and had these heavenly beings swoop down upon his earth and scour it of his enemies. But you know, the Lord didn't do that, did he? No. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, there's an example. And if you remember the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says in the very first verse, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Well, there's the example that Christ has given us, and we're supposed to be followers of him. Now, this example that Jesus has given us, this is something which I'd like to show you what the Lord has really done. In 1 Peter chapter 10, this is a great verse that you need to be aware of. At verse 23, speaking about Jesus, and it says, "Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he was suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." You know what the Lord did with these people who were wagging their heads at him, mocking and scorning him? He turned this over to God. He gave this to him who is able to judge righteously. Jesus Christ forgave these people. By the way, while I'm right here, I want to ask you a question. I've asked several brethren this question since I got to teaching this lesson, and I've never had one yet tell me exactly what it means. If I were to ask you this evening, define for me what the word forgiveness means. Have you ever looked that up? Have you brethren to teach here, and I know there's a number of you teach, I'm sure you've taught lessons and mentioned the idea of forgiveness. Did you ever look up the word forgiveness? Well, you may have, but I never had. Isn't that pitiful? All of these years, and I never had looked up the word forgiveness. You say, what does forgiveness mean? Well, you know what it means. You know, you forgive them. You know, you just forgive them. What do you do when you forgive them? You forgive them. No. And if you look it up, it gets to be a whole lot plainer. You know what the word forgive means? It has three basic ideas. It means send it away. Now look at me. What do? You send it away. Here's a second definition. You let it go. What do when you forgive? You let it go. And the third one is you give it up. What do when you forgive? You give it up. Who do you give it up to? You give it up to him who's able to judge righteously. So when you forgive someone, you send it away. You let it go. You give it up. You get rid of it. That's what you do. It is something that you clear yourself of. And here's some questions which I always ask with this. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, but they don't know what to do," did Jesus forgive these people who were taking away his life? Yes, he did. Did they ask for his forgiveness? No, they didn't ask for his forgiveness. Did they repent for putting him to death? No, they didn't repent for putting him to death. Did God forgive them? No. Well, what happened here? Jesus just got it off of himself. He turned it over to him who is able to judge righteously. Now these people who've done this awful harm to Jesus, they have to answer for this himself. The Lord's clear. You know, if that was an isolated example, I guess you could say, well, that's the way divine, that divinity can work that way. Jesus was a God as well as man, and God can do that. But you know, I don't know if you're just talking about this from a human standpoint. It's just not a natural thing. Well, it's not about Christianity. It's not a natural, it's a human thing. In fact, that's what it's all about this morning. We talked about the idea the Word of God could make us into sons and daughters of God. Well, the isolation of this particular teaching is not limited to Jesus. You get over the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, and you find another fella who is being stoned to death. This man is Stephen. And Stephen has a unique opportunity. He looks into heaven. It's just like a window was opened into heaven. And Stephen looks in, and you know what he sees? He sees Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now, I could preach about that for a while because I really do like the idea. Every other place you find Jesus mentioned in relationship to God, he is always sitting at the right hand of God. Not in Acts chapter 7. He's standing at the right hand of God. And if I might speculate, here's what's going on. Stephen is the first Christian martyr. This is the first man dying in the Christian age. This is the first one giving his life for Jesus Christ. And Jesus is very much concerned. He is standing up and he's watching this scene. And Stephen is having the life beat out of him. Now what's Stephen got on his mind? Look at verse 38 of Acts 7. Stephen says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. How about that? Exact same thing the Lord said basically, wasn't it? What is Stephen saying? Lay not this sin to their charge. What's Stephen doing? He's sending this away. He's letting it go. He's giving it up. Who is he giving it up to? He who is able to judge righteously. He's turning this over to God. Now let me ask our questions again. Did Stephen forgive these people who were beating him to death with rocks? Yes, he did. Did they ask for his forgiveness? No, they didn't. Did they repent of what they were doing? No. Does that mean that these people were forgiven by God? No. They still have to answer to God. Well, what's happened here? Stephen's given it up. He's got it off of himself. He has done what I've termed unconditional forgiveness. He does not want to hold any grudges. He does not seek revenge. He is not trying to get evil, even. He's going to give this to God. Now, folks, I've learned quite a little bit about this. I'm sure there's a lot more that I've never even uncovered. But this is a great thing to think about, and I'd like to talk about it just for a few minutes from this standpoint. It is a very valuable thing for us to understand the benefits of forgiveness. For instance, the benefits of now, while we're here. Have you ever noticed Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, he says, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, each one of these, he says, blessed, the idea is happy, literally. Happy is that person who is merciful. And when I look this idea up, the idea of being merciful includes being able to forgive. Happy is that person, in other words, who can forgive. And you might say, how does that make somebody happy? What does that do for us? Well, let me explain some of this. And I would like to do it by using some things that I read and something a brother told me this year. We have a brother in the church who's been a counselor for about 30 years. And in this period of time, he says he's dealt with some pitiful cases. Most of the time, he dealt with children. And he said that there are oftentimes he finds children who are underachievers. They have very low self-esteem. They never accomplish what they're capable of. And a lot of times it was his job to try to work down to the root of these kids' problems. And he said sometimes he could do it. And said invariably when he got down to the bottom of their problem, it was a forgiveness issue. Somebody had done something to them that they could not get over. Somebody had done something to them they could never forget. He said children especially are prone to grudges. He said if an adult does something to a child, that child has a terrible time getting over it. And he said oftentimes they can work through these problems, and it's just like you uncovered a different child. All of a sudden he has some self-esteem because he's gotten over this which held him back. All of a sudden he's able to accomplish things which he could not do before because he could not apply himself. Our focus, all because of forgiveness issues. He went on to say that adults have the same kind of problem. And there's an irrational belief about this. The irrational belief is that people who hold grudges, they think that by holding the grudge, they're punishing the person who's done them evil. And he said, most of the time, the people who've done the evil could not care less that you hold a grudge against them. They do not care. And many times, the person that they're holding the grudge against is already dead. Oh, I'll never forgive him. You know, he's been dead for 15 years, but I'll never forgive him. So what? You think he's worried about that? Who is the one suffering here? The perpetrator doesn't care what you do. The person who's dead already, he doesn't care what you do. Who is suffering here? You are. You're the one that's suffering. The fact that you hold a grudge does not hurt the person that you're holding the grudge against. It only hurts you. And this fellow went on to tell me, he says this type of grudge holding and unforgiveness produces, he called it latent anger, stored up anger. And he said it also brings about a desire for revenge. It brings about resentment. At the very least, it produces hurt feelings. And then they begin to talk about some of the situations we see in our world. And these things was just like a ringing a bell in my mind. He says these people who have forgiveness problems, they have fits of rage. You know, the society which you and I live in is characterized by rage. We have so much rage in our society, we got it named. People who are angry and upset all the time. We've got perennial rage. We've got spousal rage. We've got adolescent rage. We've got road rage. We've got rage named everything you can imagine. Do you know people? Do you know someone who is mad all the time? I do. I know of a person who's angry all the time. And what's wrong with him? That's not normal behavior. I say he has a forgiveness problem. And that's why he's so angry. He's frustrated. He can't do anything about it. And therefore, all he can do is just be upset and mad about it. This also brings on violence in some cases. That's where we see these cases of road rage where people shoot each other driving down the freeway. They don't know what else to do about it. It brings about depression. If you've ever experienced any depression, that's one of the most hurtful and harmful things the body can go through. Why are they depressed? Because they're mad about something. They can't get this loose. It brings about self-esteem. It produces unhappiness. It causes low achievement. It brings about physical ailments. One of the greatest hurts to the human body is stress. And stress is often produced by unforgiveness. It makes people bitter. Harsh, coarse, spiteful, hateful, and all those other words we use to describe that kind of folks. I read some research while I was studying this, and there's a doctor at the University of Wisconsin who did some research, and this would be hard to do, but he did the best he could to try to test some people before and after. While they had their forgiveness problems, he tested them, and then after much psychological work with them, when they finally turned it loose, and he discovered several things. Some of those things he discovered was the fact that they eliminated feelings of anxiety. They got over this stress that they were under when they finally found out the cause of their problem. He said also that they began to boost their self-esteem. They began to feel better about themselves because they finally learned how to deal with this problem, which had been such a pain to them. He says they gained hope. They now had some hope. They removed bitter feelings. They were able to experience some kindness in their heart. And then one of the most telling things he said was, they were now able to sleep. They could sleep. Have you ever laid awake at night thinking about what somebody did to you? Wondering how you might get even? Or wondering how you might get revenge? You're lying awake at night. And who's suffering there? You're wasting your time. You're losing sleep. Wouldn't you like to get that out and get some rest? Well, that's what this amounts to. He says it relieves people of this burden and they can now sleep. That's the physical benefits of forgiving. But now there are spiritual benefits, and these are the big things for us. Let me talk about the spiritual benefits for a few minutes. First of all, we're commanded to forgive. Mark the 11th chapter, verse 25. And listen to this verse. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Do you look at that verse? If you have anything against anyone, alive or dead, repented or unrepented, whether they asked or they didn't ask, forgive them. What do you do? Forgive them his sins. Now, I find that this, again, this is a requirement. If we want God to forgive us, we have to be able to forgive. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, or forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What are we supposed to do? Forgive each other, he says. You know, I find that this forgiveness is something which we have to be willing to give up of ourselves. We forgive them. There's a little word in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, which I'd like to present to you. In Matthew chapter 6, we have what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. You remember the disciples asked the Lord, teach us how to pray. And the Lord told them. He starts off there to where we want to pick this up at verse 12. And forgive us our debts. Now here's a little word I want you to look at. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a little bitty word, isn't it? You know what the word as means? It means like. Father in heaven, forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. Really? Is that really what you want? You want God to forgive you like you forgive your debtors? You better think about that. Especially if you're one of these grudge holders. One of these unforgivers, because that's what the Lord's going to do. If you don't forgive, he's not going to forgive. In Matthew the 18th chapter, I found out this was the longest parable in the Bible, just for your information. This is the longest parable in the Bible. And here Jesus teaches about something that, which I think we all need to be concerned about because of the first verse, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which took account of his servants. The kingdom of heaven. Y'all remember the other night what we talked about the kingdom of heaven? And we pointed out the kingdom of heaven, that's the Lord's church. Well, that's what this is about. It's about the Lord's church. The Lord's church is like a certain king who took account of his servants. And look. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him. That owed him 10,000 talents. I tried to find out how much money 10,000 talents was, and I ran into a stone wall because there's not enough information. We don't know if this is a Greek talent or if this is a Hebrew talent. We don't know if this is silver or it's gold, but everybody agrees 10,000 talents is a tremendous amount of money. If it's a silver talent, and the smaller of these two, it is in excess of 100,000 U.S. American dollars. That's a lot of money. This man owes him $100,000, and notice what happens. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that they had make payment, a payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, 100 pence, we're a little bit more sure what that is. That's less than $20. Owed him less than $20. And look what happens. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me this that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all this debt, and because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that he was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now here's what he's saying. This man who was forgiven a tremendous debt, he is able to walk away from it. He goes out and grabs one of his fellow servants by the throat, shakes him like a dog shaking a rat, and says, I want you to pay me the $20 you owe me. He couldn't do it, so he has him clapped into prison until he could pay. When the Lord found out about it, he called us in. He said, didn't I forgive you a huge debt? Can't you do that for your fellow servant? And don't let that go over your head. Do you all realize that God has forgiven us a huge debt? He's forgiven us a huge debt. It was a debt that required the price of the blood of his only begotten Son. I've cost God a huge debt. Now, how about me? Am I going to be as forgiving to my fellow man? Or am I going to be like this fellow right here. I forget about this huge debt that God has forgiven me and can have no mercy on my fellow man. Friends, don't forget that you're bought with a price yourself. Don't forget that a huge debt's been paid for you. And so many of us are so like this man, so quickly we've forgotten. And we can't forgive our brother, or we can't forgive our sister in Christ. This concept of unconditional forgiveness is very much a Christian principle. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Mark 11, verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. Now you say, well, how often do I have to do that? You know, I always think about Peter when I come to this how often business. You know, Peter, and some of us have been talking about Peter a little bit this week. He was a man just like us. And you know, Peter had his troubles. And he comes up to the Lord, by the way, it's in Matthew chapter 18 again. And he wants to ask the Lord, what about how often do I have to do this? And he's going to be very charitable about it. Peter asked the Lord, he said, do I need to forgive my brother seven times? You know, I suspect in Peter's mind that would be going a second mile. Do I give my brother forgiveness seven times? Look, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Does that mean he has to forgive him 490 times? No, the idea is as often as is necessary. As often as is necessary. Now people ask me when I teach this lesson, what about Matthew 18 where it talks about if your brother sin against you, go and talk to him, you and him together? Well, let me explain that to you. That's for his benefit. That's trying to get him to repent. That's trying to get him to come back. This business right here, forgiveness, that's for you. And we're supposed to forgive, and we're supposed to do this as often as is necessary. Here's a few questions as we draw the lesson down to a close. Do we have to forgive? Yes, we do. If we want to be forgiven, does the offender have to ask for my forgiveness? No, he doesn't. Does the offender have to repent of what he's done to me? No, he doesn't have to repent. Does God have to forgive that offender? No, he still has to deal with God. Well, what happens here? Well, I get rid of it myself. And I'm able to go on about my business, function and perform like a Christian should without letting this hinder me or hold me back, without allowing this to become a canker in my heart until it keeps me from being the type of person I should be. The idea is you want to get rid of this. You don't want this to be something that holds you back. Now, everybody listen up. I've got a little illustration I want to tell you, and I want to leave you with this. This is really good as far as I'm concerned, and I just heard it a few days ago, but it fits right in, right where we'd like to use it, right here. Man out in California told me this, and you think about this. Said there was an old Indian grandpa who was trying to teach his little grandson some of the facts of life. And this old Indian had the little boy sitting on his lap, and he was telling the little boy, he said, son, you're going to find out as you grow older that you've got two wolves in you. Two wolves inside of you. And said, one of these wolves is mean. He's revengeful. He's spiteful. He's unforgiving. He's a bad. He's bad in every way. And said, the other wolf, he's good. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's forgiving. He's good. The little boy said, well, grandfather, which one of the wolves is going to win this fight? And his grandfather said, the wolf that wins will be the one that you feed. Now you think about that. These things that we hold in our heart, these things that we allow to become overwhelming to us, they can take us down. They can hinder us in a way that we're not able to perform as we should. So don't feed things that are not good for you. They're not good for you spiritually. They're not good for you physically. Instead, get rid of those things that holds you back. And the best way you can do it is by forgiveness. Give it up, let it go, and send it away. I'm ready to draw the lesson to a close. Maybe there's one here this evening that's not a Christian, and you'd like to obey the gospel. You know, this meeting's going to be over with just in a few minutes, and your opportunities for this meeting will be gone. So if you've been thinking about obeying the gospel, here's what you need to do. Believe in Jesus Christ. We've talked about this from time to time. John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, unless we believe in him, we'll die in our sins. Repent, that is, change your life. Luke 13 verse 3 says, I tell you name, but you catch you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Confess the good name of Jesus, that he is the Son of God. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8 verse 37, when he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Acts 2 verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized every one in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've never done that, this is your opportunity. Maybe there's a child of God here this evening, and you need to make some public correction in your Christian life. We'd offer you that opportunity. Why don't you declare, won't you come while we stand, while we stand.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Sing now some song to say, oh Spirit, go thy way. Son of born convenient day, only on that very much too.